At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
fair. And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, ugh, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not fair.
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Hey everybody, welcome to another bonus episode of Horror Movie Night, and this week I am joined by Tom Jacobson of the infamous movie that we all adore over on this podcast, Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. We've had Mike on the show in the past, but now we've got Tom here to talk about his newest Kickstarter campaign that is already at 200%. It's been 24 hours since it's launched. So tell us about First Curse.
So The First Curse is a horror film set 40,000 years ago during the extinction of the Neanderthals. My writing partner and I wrote a full feature version. But within sending it around to some people in town, you know, Hollywood, there was nothing really to kind of compare the movie to. And, like, the style is very visceral and real, and it's graphic, and it's violent. So we decided a short film would be a nice little showcase. So we kind of took some of our favorite elements from the full feature and are going to make a short version of this kind of brutal tale of a Neanderthal being hunted by some very malicious, evil humans.
All right. Well, I am kind of excited to see. So what, like, genres are you pulling from? Because obviously with, you know, Dude Bro Party Massacre is very much a throwback to the 80s slashers that we all grew up loving. This sounds like it's kind of its own very unique concept. But is there anything that you're kind of pulling inspiration from while writing it?
Well, we watched Apocalypto a few times. That movie is impeccable. Also, The Grey is a great example, where it's a horror movie, but it's a thriller, and it's a drama, and it's, like, you know, one man's journey, but with wolves. So we pull from The Grey, and I've just been watching any horror movie that has good jungle or woodland cinematography, which, like, The Ritual on Netflix, they make that forest look so scary at night and during the daytime. So trying to just kind of pull, there is no real horror movie set this time, so it's very hard to kind of pull inspiration from anything.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's what's really cool is that, you know, you're going from one film that very much leaned on familiarity to that particular subgenre to essentially your follow-up is creating your own subgenre, which is insane. It's such a giant leap.
And Dubro, obviously I had the safety net of having, you know, two of my best friends as co-directors with me, and 5 Second Films as such a huge community and family. You know, there's like 14 of us in the company. And that movie is such a very unique sense that, like, I see everybody's voices in it. You know, when you watch like a Hitchcock film or you watch a Park Chan-wook film, you see that director's voice. But in Dubrow, I see 5 second films. It's kind of a fun little experience like that.
It's kind of the only thing that it could be really compared to is whenever you get all the guys from the state together. You know what I mean? Like David Wayne has his own unique style and Michael Showalter has his own unique style. But when they work together, it is definitively a state movie.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, yeah, it's like Monty Python where you see them in there.
Yeah, it's very exciting to have that blend, but now you're going off on your own. Is anyone coming along with you, or is this strongly like Tom Jacobson cutting off and doing his own thing?
I mean, yes, it is me cutting off and doing my own thing, but like Michael Rousselet will be helping in the production side. He's fantastic to have behind the camera. Ben Geely's going to come on as a producer, and Mike James as well is going to be a producer. Mike James plays ZQ in Dubrow Party Massacre 3, the one with the camera. And Ben is Samzy, who is kind of a little bitch. So, yeah, I will have familiar faces. And Kelsey Gunn, her boyfriend, will be shooting it. Kelsey's also fantastic at casting. Kelsey, if you're listening to this, I will be asking you for casting help. Olivia, I've spoken to her boyfriend, who was an amazing cinematographer. I picked his brain for a long time. So I'm pulling from all of my collected, 13 years of friends and favors that I've built up to kind of make this.
Well, I mean, the exciting thing is that at this point, it's not even necessarily a, hey, raise enough money for us to make this film. Like, you've hit that goal. So now it's just like, let's make this short film really fucking pop. You know what I mean? Like, you've hit what you need it. Now let's make it better.
Well, to be fair, we asked for a low amount knowing that we could make it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And, obviously the film will not cost $5,000, which is what we asked for. And we knew we could make that. And I honestly did not think in 24 hours we would make that. I thought maybe like a week or two. But we have a little bit of funding from some other people. But for the most part, yes, it's just like the more money we get, the more is going to end up on screen.
And I think that's the exciting thing about these crowdfunded projects is that, prior it was kind of just this was the amount that we can give you and that's all you get and make it work. And now, depending on how into the project other people are, sometimes the sky is kind of the limit on what your actual project can be. I mean, the downside is that the limit could be about $20, but it's that give and take.
Yeah, so we are kind of banking on our stretch goals. So we're about $500 away from 10,000, and if we get to 10,000, 5 second films is going to do another 5 new films.
Oh, sure.
I'm calling Ancient History Week, because we have jokes that like we need like a full knight's outfit on. And we just weren't able to afford that. So if we get to this 10,000, I will rent a full knight outfit and we will do this knight joke that we've been talking about for years. Or, if any of the other gang have jokes that take place in, the Renaissance or ancient Egypt, we'll put some money into it and make a funny joke for everyone.
Well, what brought you to this specific time period? And like, it's just, it's a very different concept. You know what I mean? So I'm so curious where all this stemmed from.
It actually came from like an offhand comment from Ben Geely. We were 5 second films met up a couple years ago, maybe like 2 years ago, and we were pitching ideas. A company had come to us and was like, hey, we want to hear some ideas. So we got together beforehand and kind of went around a round table like we always do and pitched ideas out. And someone pitched a period piece that took place in like the 1700s, and everyone kind of groaned and was like, oh, web series set in the 1700s. That's expensive. Period pieces are expensive, right?
Yeah.
But Ben Geely said, the further back in time you go, the cheaper a period piece becomes. And then that just like something clicked right at that table with everyone where I was just like, holy shit, what if we go so far back that there's no structures, there's clothes are very minimal and bare. And like the most structure we get is a cave. And then that kind of just set the ball rolling. I pitched it to my writing partner, James Ashby, who is one of the executive producers on Dubrow Party Massacre 3 and also kind of internet famous himself. He had a thing called Saturday Morning Breakfast Serial Theater on YouTube for quite a few years. And then he loved the idea and we just kind of sat down and we're like, well, what what's cool about this time period, and what do we want to kind of showcase and exploit.
And you said that you're gonna, this one's gonna be, for the most part, a pretty straightforward and serious take. It's not gonna be the like anarchy and chaos, just throwing shit at the wall that dude bro tended to have.
Yeah, no. This will be a little more directed, or not, you know, dude bro's very direct, but I mean, just like this will be very straightforward horror, kind of on par with The Gray. I mean, there are moments in the feature script that have some levity in them, and like, you know, you get a break from the tension. But in the short, it's 9 pages, and it is basically from page one, it's horror.
I have another question that might seem dumb, and if you don't want to answer it, that's totally fine. But thinking about the time period that it's based in, is this going to be a fairly dialogue-free movie?
Yes. So the feature film has, it's 90 pages, and I think has maybe 10 lines of dialogue, and those are kind of sing-songy chants. This will be mostly dialogue-free. But luckily, it's kind of a cat and mouse chase scene, so chase sequences, you don't really get a lot of dialogue anyways.
Yeah.
But there will be some ancient human speak that is indiscernible from our own ears during a kind of a sacrificial ritual. And it'll be kind of like a sing-songy call-and-repeat chant that we're developing the language for right now, actually.
That's so... that's such an... Everything about this... And I'm sure you know this, is it ambitious as fuck, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. And I mean, even the way we're approaching the soundtrack, since they didn't have string instruments, they didn't have brass horns, they didn't have guitars, there weren't keyboards, we're not using any of that. It's going to be all rocks banging on bones, some bone flutes that I will be so happy to make. I don't know if you ever saw the music, the making of the music for The Witch.
I haven't seen that, but I love the music that's in The Witch, so...
So the composer created this thing called Apprehension Engine, where it's basically, like, some tension-filled strings that he can run bows across, and, like, some springs that he can smash, and, like, a theremin, and it's just kind of like a box that creates creepy tones. We're gonna create, like, a prehistoric version of that, where it is just rocks, bones, some simple wind instruments... turtle shells, seashells, and that's how we're going to make our score to this.
Oh, that sounds so amazing. I really applaud this. Like, this is insane.
I mean, once I thought of it, I just, like, couldn't get it out of my head. We've been working on this for 2.5, maybe 3 years now, and I've written a few other things. I wrote a script with Mike James that's a horror that completely takes place in a barrel as someone is being shanghaied.
Okay.
So it's like, it's literally a bottle movie in the sense that our character is stuck in a bottle for about 75 pages out of this 90-page script. A little bit like that Buried movie with Ryan Reynolds. But even that, I kept coming back to this Neanderthal idea.
I feel like this is one of those ideas where your friends are trying to convince you that maybe it should go on the back burner for something a little bit easier.
Actually, no, this is like the one that everyone seems super pumped about, because I've pitched a few other things, and I've got a few other scripts, and I think in the past year or two, I've written 3, but this is like the one that just like everyone seems pumped about. I tell the idea, and it's like the enthusiasm is like your enthusiasm. It's just like, this is so bizarre and strange. I love it.
Yeah. No, and I think that we're at such a time in horror where you can take those risks. You know what I mean? Like, you can make a 3-hour slow burn like Midsummer, and you can, you know, do something like The Witch that's written in a very period appropriate dialogue. Like, if there was ever a time to take this swing for the fences, this is the time that horror is really up for it. It feels like.
I think so too. I think the only other time you could have gotten away with this is like maybe the 80s when Hollywood was ruled by cocaine.
Yeah. 100%. When, what was it? Cause, yeah. When you first started describing this, before you said that it was going to be serious, I was thinking of, I think it was called Nympho Barbarians in Dino Land or something like that Troma put out in the 80s.
Oh, I've never heard of, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's one of the wildest commentary tracks you'll ever hear, because it's just the director bemoaning what Troma did to his beautiful movie that he had created.
Like, I love that.
He made a serious movie. They threw fart noises in it and stuff. And he's like, I tried to make a serious film about dinosaurs and they just made shit jokes on it.
that's what Troma's known for. I mean, I think their new film is literally called Shakespearean Shitstorm.
Yeah, I feel like the Toxic Adventure had been out. He knew what he was doing when he agreed to sign that contract.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love the Toxic Avenger, and I love a lot of the Troma films, but this will be closer to the gray in tone than anything I think that even exists in horror.
No, and I think that that's exciting. I think that it's cool to have something like that that actually is taking it seriously, because, you know, right now it's like, if you have a horror movie that even remotely takes place, if it even mentions the concept of a time period where dinosaurs were involved, it's some pun name that's being produced by sci-fi. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, give us something serious and real. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but, like, give us a very real movie that takes place in that time period.
Yeah. I mean, like I just always say to people, like, this is the movie that I want to see. Like, I'm not making it for anybody else but, like, myself, because, like, I've never seen something like this, so I want to see this movie. And that's kind of how I'm approaching it. It's like, I'm making the movie that I want to see as a horror fan that just doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. No, and I think that's really, really fucking dope. Like, that should be the attitude that everyone goes into filmmaking with, is like, I've always said that I respect the shit out of John Carpenter, because I don't think John Carpenter ever made a movie for anybody but John Carpenter.
He does his own. Even, you know, I mean, how hard must it have been to get Big Trouble in Little China made? It's such a wacky idea.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're gonna do a movie where our main hero thinks that he's the hero, but he's truly the sidekick in the story.
Yeah. and then it's gonna end in a giant kung fu battle with astral samurai.
Yeah, and the final boss just explodes on his own accord. Like, everything about that script is insane that someone signed off on it.
Yep, but John Carpenter, dances to the beat of his own soundtrack.
Quite literally. Well, thank you so much, Tom. Where can people go if they want to throw some donations in there and get some of the cool comic book additions from the Stretch Goals?
Yeah, so it's up on Kickstarter right now. Look up First Curse. I don't believe there's a "the" in the search option. I'm not sure why they didn't put the in there. But look up First Curse on Kickstarter. Also, we have an Instagram that has the links to it, First Curse Short. If we can get to our 12,000 stretch goal, we will release the first first 5 pages of the first issue. And if we can get to 15, we will release the whole first issue to everyone for free, anyone who even donates a dollar. So excited for that. I would love to have a comic book of this myself. Even if we're just doing a digital download, I might just go to Kinko's and print the pages out and staple them at home and, like, nerd out on the... thank you so much for having me on here.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the
What?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, ugh, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.